Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards, and the Authors on Fire podcast. I am Pat Rulo, and I am happy to share a recent Firebird Book Award winner and a previous Positive Change Podcast Award winner with you. He is Carl Cox, the CEO and founder of 40 Strategy. He is the author of Lost at CEO, an entrepreneur's guide to strategy. Also host of the Measure Success podcast and the new $4 million Strategies mini podcast. Carl has been an executive leader in 7 different organizations that have grown from 2 times to 7 times with operations in 4 continents. Today, Carl is tracking towards his 10-year vision to positively impact over 1 million people, 10,000 organizations, and to donate at least 1 million to charity. He is a sought-after speaker and podcast guest who challenges audiences to think differently about strategy. He shows you how you can defy the odds to reach your destination faster. His inspiring message will empower you to change your habits and discover a better way. And I've been looking forward to talking with him again and sharing him with you. So welcome back, Carl.
Pat, thank you so much. And it's an honor to be on your show.
Oh, thank you for saying so. It's always a pleasure to work with you. And congratulations on winning the Firebird Book Award.
Yeah, thank you so much. That was very exciting to receive that. And I can't say enough. So thank you so much. We were just super excited that we received that.
Well, you know what? All of the work you do is just excellent. So that's not a surprise. All right. I need to delve into something here before we get into your book. Do tell about your brand new daily podcast.
Pat, this is one of the most exciting things that we have gotten into, which is the $4 million Strategy podcast is based on the work, frankly, we've done over a lifetime, if you may, so to speak, but it's been more recently. You know this, right? There's so many podcasts out there. There's no end to podcasts, but how much of us do we have the ability to listen to 30 to 35 minutes podcasts? And I recognize it's a challenge, right? And we had one of our clients, matter of fact, they call, I love your Measure Success podcast. I don't always have time to listen to the weekly show. Can you just give me quick tips? And I kind of filed that away. And then over some other learnings that we have been doing of finding out the difference of how to increase the value of a company by working what's called the multiple of a company, the risk of a company to help increase the value, we found out that there was this gap of a $4 million gap in the average size of the company, value of $3 million to $7 million. So then it was like, and then I met somebody else and he said, Carl, hey, why don't I just do this 5-minute podcast? So he was putting me on this 5-minute podcast. So we put all these together, all those ideas of how to increase the value of business, making it shorter, and then we brought it down to 4 minutes. And so that's what this is a daily 4-minute podcast. I speak on it 1 of the 5 days a week. I bring on experts to talk about key topics, 40 different strategic areas on how to increase the value of business. And it is just super fun. It's actually, as I was telling you earlier, Pat, it's kind of fun stress. It's like, boom, tell me real quickly in 4 minutes how to make my strategic vision or how to automate my business. It's those type of questions. And these experts who have written books, who have done it before so many times, are forced to tell you the essential few things. And so it's a wonderful, worthwhile habit. We're trying to make this the 4-minute habit for every business person out there.
Wow. It's brilliant. And you were so right. There's so many people that have good intentions to follow a podcast weekly or biweekly or how often it airs. But, you know, life and work gets in the way. But these little tiny bites are just the right size that you can play it anytime and obviously learn a whole lot from it. And I was also thinking, though, that's a lot of work for you. It sounds, oh, wow, 4-minute podcast, that's not a lot. But if you're doing it daily, I mean, there's a lot of time involved on your end to put that together.
Yeah, it's not a minor investment, but it is so fun. I mean, this is like, I'm going to repeat that fun stress again. We can record 3 4-minute podcasts in a half hour. And so we get, you know, so in a recording period of time, we do pretty well. And then our team makes it, you know, I like to say, is make it look pretty, so to speak, right? You know, they make the audio look good. They put some B-rolls into it. And so we're really trying to promote it on YouTube quite a bit right now at 40 Strategies, where you could find it. And it is so fun. It's like, as I said, it's the reviews we received, the excitement of the podcast guests. It's an investment of time. It's an investment of money. But it's part of our goal is to help give as much as we can and educate to those who are out there.
Oh, I just love how these ideas just roll in and you go with them. And as you mentioned, fun stress. I never put those two words together, but I get it. My whole life is like full of fun stress. It's good. You always have these, I don't know, these creative ideas that you're working on. So I can totally relate to what you're doing. And I think it's just, as I said, absolutely brilliant. So people need to tune into that. $4 Million Strategies mini podcast that's aired daily. All right, now we're going to get down to your book. Your business book, at heart, Lost at CEO, is a fictional story that examines what it means to be a CEO in the 21st century. And again, I also think it's very wise to create a fictional story to share your message. How did that come about, the thought process to decide to do fiction versus just a straight how-to book?
So Pat, this book was a 2.5 year labor of love. And so I guess once again, you could kind of put in that fun stress, but I had actually written a different book called The Seven Cells of Success. And I put it together and I never released it. And the reason was, is it was going to sound like every other book. And I didn't want to do that. I didn't want my first art, so to speak, in terms of a book to go out there to sound like everything else. And so one of my favorite books that I ever read was The Goal by Elijah Goldratt. And it really transformed my mind. Matter of fact, I was in an advanced cost accounting course at the University of Washington, and a Boeing consultant who was an adjunct professor said, Carl, I need you to unlearn everything and read this book. So that was what I was told, right, was to go about doing that. Well, what happened was I read the book, and it literally transformed the way I thought. And so that's why I wanted to write this book. I wanted to write it in a way where a busy entrepreneur, a busy executive will take the time and they will enjoy the read and they'll be like, wow, that was easy, right? And that's what's so fun. I can't tell you the amount of comments. Matter of fact, I was just talking to somebody from England just a few minutes ago, and he was just a recent university grad, and he said, Carl, I loved your book. I finished it way faster than I thought, and here's all my questions I want to drill you with. I mean, how fun is that?
Yes, to get that kind of positive feedback. And it just makes for a more pleasant read when you can learn while you're enjoying the story.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. It's when we, one of the best other compliments I heard was as another CEO said, Carl, how did you write this book about me? Right. You know, that's when you know you've nailed it, right? Because that means they are now feeling like they're a character in the book. And that was the intent. You know, I want people to feel like they're living it. And then they're more likely to learn the principles and how the principles apply to them.
When you say that, I'm also wondering if writing about the main character in the book was a little bit of you. So perhaps it was easy to write because you were writing about yourself or some of your experiences.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I kind of play two characters in the book. So Jack is the main character in the book, and he's the CEO that's stuck and he's trying to find a better way. And I've been there. Okay. I've been there multiple times, but also Jack has been my client. He's been my client that I come into and I get brought in to help out. And so I really can relate to their story because I've been there. And then Charlie in the story is kind of me current day, the consultant who's guiding him and just kind of giving these comments, little coaching advice along the way of you can turn things around, but not if you continue to do it the same way. And so there's both. And then there's a third character. Well, there's multiple characters, but there's a third character called Monica. And Monica is the wife of Jack. And what's really funny is, people who know me well, my wife's name's Sarah, they'll sometimes joke, well, Monica just called. So, meaning there's a bit of my experiences that Jack had with his wife of it's hard to have a family, mm-hmm. right? To have a significant other in your life and to have kids, and there's also a kid, a child in the book, and balancing that with the stress of running a company. Mm-hmm. And so I try to put those what I call real life elements that an entrepreneur deals with, right? It's not just about doing things in your book. It's about living your whole life and growing your company, right? And so that was what the book was intended to get across, a real life experience of what it's really like, not this, oh, everything's going to be great if you just do these four things.
Mm-hmm. I knew you were playing a dual character here where you were Jack the client and Charlie the strategic consultant all rolled into one. So what a blast that must have been to write.
It was. It was hard. Yes. It was super hard, but it was fun. It was super fun to do it. And I found that even though there was a lot of writing involved, talking it out was really how I helped get out a lot of the content mm-hmm. initially, mm-hmm. because it was I really had to relate to it. And like, this is what a real life conversation is like.
Yeah.
And that really helped me to make sure it was put into words properly. And then the story flowed. So it was fun. It was a labor of love, but it was fun when we got it to actually work.
Is there going to be a second book based on this?
There is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for asking. So there's actually going to be three parts uh-huh. of this book. So the first part is this first story of learning how to do it. The next edition, and we're probably a couple years away from doing this, but I'm actually going to sneak in a book in between. But the book, the second book in this series is going to be selling the company. Mm-hmm. And then the third book in the series is having purpose after you've sold your company.
Ooh.
So that's the three books in this series.
Excellent. Oh, this makes so much sense. I love this. I'm glad I asked. Well, if you would maybe give us a look inside.
I was really fortunate because Trey Taylor writes a great foreword. He's the author of CEO, only does three things, and he kind of talks about his experience behind it. But if you go into the first chapter, it's Jack. And Jack is waking up in the middle of the night because things with his business are not working well. And that's with intent, right? Because the reality is you know, once again, I get hired to help people when they're stressed out, you know, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. that they're trying to turn around the business or they're trying to get their business to the next level. And so that's what they're going to see. They're going to experience and they're going to feel the stress initially of Jack going, gosh, if I do things the same way, that's like the classic insanity mindset, right? Mm-hmm. It's not going to be any different this time. And so they start going into this pace of Jack trying to figure it out, and that's where he runs into Charlie, the consultant at a coffee shop. Charlie's busy. He's working with other clients. But he's like, hey, can you just talk to me and help me out a little bit along the way as I try to figure out how to do this strategic plan, and in particular, do this strategic retreat differently than they've done in the past. And so it goes to this story of how to do it the right way. What I think is the right way, at least, with these seven key principles and what we call the captain strategy methodology. But once again, it's put into this realm, but it's not made boring because there's a bunch of challenges along the way. There are employees who aren't happy and employees who don't want to change, and there's people who aren't involved who need to get involved. And so you see the dynamics of the company, because once again, it's not easy to create change in your company because everyone wants to stay the same. And then there's the dynamics of the family where there's stress at home. And you know, I don't know about you, Pat, but I've had that many times where, you know, if I'm stressful at home, I'm probably stressed at work and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And so it's this reality is you can apply these principles not just to your business life, but you can apply it to your personal life as well.
And often in business books, nobody touches upon that aspect of it, of the personal life. It's just work-driven, when obviously there's such interplay between the two.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I am fortunate. I've been married to my high school sweetheart for, I'll be coming up on, holy cow, can you believe that? It's going to be coming up on 28 years here. And so that's frankly the most important part of my life. And then we also have four kids, and they matter to us significantly. We just literally had our youngest daughter just graduate from high school. Mm-hmm. All four, we're going to be officially in our next stage of life, right, of being empty nesters. And so, you know, change happens, right, no matter how much we want to hang on to things or not. And recognizing that all of these pieces are important for us to be able to be a great, you know, husband or wife, and to be a great parent, and to also be a great entrepreneur. And that's the purpose of this book, is to help people see that they don't have to be divided, but when done together well, you can have the best outcome.
Mm-hmm. There's so many aspects that go into creating and then maintaining a successful business. And I know this is kind of a loaded question, but what stands out, if any, as being the most important initial key? So somebody is just starting a business, or maybe they're floundering an existing business. What's the first thing they should be thinking about?
That's an excellent question, right? And it really does, of course, depend on what stage a company's at. But I would start with keeping the end in mind and asking that question. You know, why are you in business and where are you trying to go? What happens when we're struggling, right, to get sales, and we're struggling to create cash flow, or we're struggling to pay our employees, is because sometimes we've lost our purpose. And so when we can pull back and go, okay, I know it's really hard right now, but this is going to be worth it if I can get to this in 3 years, or I can get to this in 5 years, or I can get to Y in 10 years. You know, when you were describing the preliminary piece, when I opened up 40 Strategy, my current company, I had a 10-year vision. And frankly, now we are, I shared with you the current goals, but we're trying to go way beyond that today. But you have to have that initial vision, because things are hard along the way. And if you don't have a bigger purpose, it's easy to quit, right? It's easy to decide to work for somebody else now, or it's easy to not try that difficult thing that you know you need to do to get to the next level. And so that's my big recommendation. And that's the first part of our, in the Captain Strategy process. You need to have your compass. And that compass should be a long-term viewed compass. And once you get that in play, all the other things can fall into place, because everything should be going in that direction. And if it's not going in that direction, you have to question why you're doing it. Mm-hmm.
Do you find when you work with people for the first time that there are some that have no direction? It was just like, this is a great idea, or this is what I always wanted to do, or I thought I could make a lot of money doing this, but there is no end point to it? Do you find that?
Oh, often. Mm-hmm. It's really common. Yeah, matter of fact, and I'll say this, sometimes somebody has a really good, what we call a vision statement, but they'll just have this vision statement, but it's kind of empty. Mm-hmm. And what has happened is, over time, the company has changed because, frankly, they've gone to where the market is, or they've gone to where their clients have told them to go. And so they're honestly incongruent with what they said they were going to be. And when there's incongruence with who you're trying to become and what you're doing, it doesn't generally, there's conflict, literally, there's conflict in it. And so it's really important to get that aligned, because when you have everything aligned, you can kind of imagine it like a smooth arrow, right? When all things are completely aerodynamic, things move fast, and people trust where they're going to go. You made the speed of trust. And when that's pulled together, organizations fly. When people have different opinions, that one of the best things that happens when you have a great, in what I would call an envisioned future, when you have a great envisioned future, it's not just a vision statement. It's like it's a story of where you're going to be in the future. Mm-hmm. When people leave your company because of it.
Is there a line or a fine line between your initial, or where you see the company going, your vision statement, and listening to the customer feedback, where, again, that may not be congruent? And then what do you do with that?
So great question. That's an excellent question, Pat. And I want to say the other thing too, is when you have a great vision, you bring people to your company. But what I've found is when you have a really clear vision, that's adding value. Right? That's important. It's adding value to your clients. when those are aligned, that's when it's best. What the problem is sometimes we're doing things because we're making a few bucks off of it, but we don't like to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not what we're great at, but we're doing it because it's paying the bills, so to speak, right in between. And it works in the short run. Don't get me wrong. You got to pay the mortgage. You got to pay the rent. I get it. But in the long run, you have to make sure you align what you're trying to become combined with what you're delivering. And then you have that joy, right, of when it goes through. And so part of this is what I'm saying here. Not only are you going to attract the right employees and other people are not going to be one a part of it, you're also going to attract and detract the right type of clients. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, and that's a really hard thing, especially when it's like a significant customer. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, we can't not do that anymore because how are we going to pay the bills? But in the long run, it's not good. You have to ultimately overcome those obstacles and make sure there's alignment there.
Oh, that's a rough one.
It is. It's super hard. The hardest thing that companies do is sometimes fire one of their larger clients, but nobody likes to work with.
Mm-hmm. I get that. Wow. So how about success? So somebody has built a company, it achieves success. What's the track they need to be on to maintain that? Because I would imagine sometimes you might then put it on autopilot, like this is going well, and you may end up with a different conclusion someday down the line. So what do you say about maintaining a successful business?
That's an excellent question. And let's start with a premise. One of our key premises of the book is strategic planning is a hypothesis. It's not a fact. Okay. Which means, right, we don't know for sure. You know, it's easy to write something on the whiteboard, but it's so much more difficult to put it into play, to put into practice. And so we actually have to have the mindset that when we get into the real world, when we get into working with customers, when we actually try to implement things, it's okay if it evolves. And it's okay if we learn through learnings, we recognize we are heading in a different direction. But what's important is to then update that for the future. We recommend every 6 months you do this keep, start, stop process of, hey, what should we keep doing because it's working? What should we start doing because we know we need to do it? But the hardest thing for the high-achieving executives, people I work with, is to stop doing the things that we said we were going to do, but they're not working at all. That takes courage. It's difficult. But when you have the courage to let things go, that's powerful. So, yes, that's an important thing. Where there's two pieces there. Have a mindset of learning to change. And secondly, have a mindset to stop doing the things that aren't working.
Ooh, I love that. I wrote it down. Keep, start, stop. So every 6 months, you reevaluate what it is you're doing and what should we keep, what's working, what should we start, and what isn't working, and what should we stop. I absolutely love that.
It's a wonderful principle, and you know, I was taught it about 15 years ago, matter of fact, and it's one of the best little principles I've learned, and we love to apply it and work with our clients.
Excellent. And you don't have to have a big Fortune 500 company to be thinking about any of this. It could be the Firebird Book Awards. And, you know, I stop and think about it every now and then. And what should I keep doing? What should I start doing that might add value to our clients? And what should we stop for whatever reason?
Yeah. So, you know, this book is intended for the small company, the small to mid-sized company. It is not, and for the entrepreneur, this is not intended actually for Fortune 500 company, even though they're reading it, if that makes sense.
Yes.
This is actually, that's why I even wanted the book to be easy to read, because I wanted this, you know, hey, this is the reality. 99% of U.S. business is small companies, right? And then there's the other, you know, 1% that represents 50% of the wealth. Okay.
Right.
And so, or employees, I should say, right? But the other 99% does hire 50% of the rest of the workforce in the United States. And so the goal here is to, this is intended for small business to mid-sized business, right. Meaning from an entrepreneur, single entrepreneur, to somebody who's thinking about developing their team, to growing through that process of actually having a full team, to growing enterprise. I love, honestly, working with all levels. And these principles, that's why they're principles, they work for companies of all levels.
Mm-hmm. Oh, excellent. I read something on your blog that really struck me because my dad always said this. You don't want to work on your business. You want to work in the business. And just that change of the two, actually, it's a one letter change that makes all the difference in the world. Just speak to that, where you work in the business, not on the business.
Well, yeah, it's two key pieces, right? You're in the business part is your sales and your marketing and your delivering your kind, your manufacturing. Working on your business is your strategy, right? And where your business is going to be going. And so having that ability to both be in and on is super critical. And what's interesting is the on part is only about 2% of your time. The in is about 98% of your time, but the in is that little, if you're in a boat, right? You can have a massive boat, you can have a small boat, but that rudder in the back, that small little rudder that's underwater, that turns your direction based on your steering wheel. And so that's the strategy part. And when we make sure we're turning things the right direction, you can make sure that you're going to reach your destination, as opposed to getting stuck and not moving anywhere.
Right, right. It's also about passion too. You know, working on your business makes it sound like it's drudgery, but when you work in your business, it's you're part of it. It's part of you.
That's right. Yep, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, so much to know here, but that's why you wrote the book, Lost at CEO, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Strategy. Anything we missed, Carl, that you wanted to highlight today?
First of all, thank you. I want to thank you for doing that. I encourage people to pick up. One thing I can say is the book is now available. We've decided to, once again, we're trying to, if you may, give away this book. It's 99 cents on Kindle right now. There's a 1 year from the release of our book. We want to try to make sure as many people out there can get it. So we encourage you to go out, get it. Get on Kindle. If you want to order it, you can do that as well. And for your listeners, Pat, we don't do this for everybody. If they want a signed copy of the book for us to deliver it, if they send me an email directly to Carl J. Cox, CarlJCox at 40strategy.com, I will get a limited number of books that are signed. But please make sure they refer this recording being on your show. And then we'll make sure we follow through with that.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And then contact info. You gave your website. Any other places you want to send folks?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can Google us at my name, Carl J. Cox, or 40strategy, 40strategy.com. That's where our website is. We have a presence on multiple different websites, from LinkedIn, our website, and we're definitely making a significant push to be on YouTube right now as well. So I encourage you to go and subscribe to us at 40 Strategy. That's where not only our main podcast you can find, but also our new $4 million strategies podcast as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Yes. I hope everyone checks out not only the book Lost at CEO, but also your Measure Success podcast and this new $4 million strategies. I listened to a couple and yeah, it's just so fun and easy to listen to. You learn so much. It's just like popping a nice piece of candy into your mouth, enjoying it and going on about your day. So I think it's a great idea that you're doing that. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me today, and keep writing, and I look forward to your next books.
Thank you so much. Once again, it's been an absolute pleasure and honor being on your show.